Fires deep, middle of the field, intercepted. An incredible pick by Patrick Peterson.
Welcome to Arizona Cardinals Underground, presented by the Arizona Cardinals mobile app. Visit azcardinals.com/app.
Touchdown, Arizona!
The latest news and notes from the guys who cover the team.
Oh, baby! They can't block Calais Campbell.
Cuts right to the five, Brown to the end zone. He's in! Touchdown!
You've got to be kidding me, Carson Palmer.
From Cardinals headquarters in Tempe.
Touchdown, Larry Fitzgerald!
This is football at its finest.
Here's Paul Calvisi.
All right, gentlemen, I think history would show, and I don't really have any data to support this, but
well, that's
I'm just going to go with it on Cardinals Underground. I expect Kyle Odegaard and Darren Urban over there, the snarky one. Okay, don't take it out on us, this 1-2 start right now. I think data will show over the years that the most effective motivator isn't some sort of pep talk at the NFL level. It's threatening a guy's job security. And Steve Keim made it known on Monday when he came on Arizona Sports. I mean, he wanted it to be known that he was bringing in 9 guys on Tuesday. Now, do they bring in guys on Tuesday on a regular basis? Yes. But he wanted it known that he was bringing in 9 guys
on
Tuesday.
Well, he wanted it known. Do they bring guys in on a Tuesday? Yes. Do they need to bring in a bunch of guys when they're probably looking for a long snapper and definitely looking for a punter? Yes. So you've probably eaten up like 6 of those spots already with punter and long snapper. But I get your point.
Yeah, and the point was made is that job security has been threatened because Cameron Kennedy has been let go, the rookie long snapper, safety Marquis Christian in a separate move. You know, Troy Nicholas is now on IR with a wrist injury that BA described as severe on Monday. Look, there will be blood if there will be losses. They're 1-2, and they're making changes, Kyle.
Yeah, especially when you come into the season and everybody's riding high off of last year. The team played so well. You bring all these guys back. The expectation was we're going to roll through this beginning part of the schedule. We're going to be sitting pretty going into the middle part where it gets harder, and that hasn't happened at all. And obviously people need a wake-up call because it was a really bad showing in Buffalo.
People or players? Where are you putting things right now, Darren? I mean, you know, if you're going to hold guys accountable and those culpable, where do you start?
That's a great question, because anybody who watched the Buffalo game, which we all three of us did, and you had a really up close view of how all that unfolded. I mean, who are you not blaming the other day? I mean, that's really, true. If you look at it,
work it the other way around. Yeah,
defensively,
Tony Jefferson and not many other guys.
They completely lost themselves in the run defense after a really good start. The first two series, is that first one especially, offensively. You know, the offensive line struggled at times. Carson Palmer did not look sharp early. And then when he did look like he was throwing some decent passes, his receivers didn't look like they know where they were going. Michael Floyd drops that first pass. I mean, to me, you can't put it all on one play, obviously. But for them to get that stop on the very first play, or very first drive of the Bills, sacking Tyrod Taylor, making the punt out of the end zone, getting the ball at the 39-yard line or 36-yard line or whatever it was, and hearing that crowd ready
there was already a murmur.
They were ready to turn and to have the wide open 10-yard pass to Michael Floyd. And I look back on the replay, it would have been a first down if he catches it, bounces off his shoulder pads. They go 3-and-out. They have to punt, and it all seemed like it went downhill from there.
You know what I saw at the very beginning of the game? I saw a team that to me looked like they were ready to play. They sounded like they were ready to play. Guys were jumping around. Coaches were yelling. Players were yelling, start fast, play fast, play fast, start fast. They went out, and to your point, sure enough. I mean, on that second down play, there was a screen pass to LeSean McCoy. As soon as the Bills broke the huddle, guys were screaming, screen! And I'm thinking to myself, okay, new offensive coordinator. He simplified the playbook. It's going to be really predictable. Advantage Cardinals, because in the third down play, they're all yelling out pass immediately a good 2 seconds before the ball was snapped. And sure enough, they end up with a sack by Kevin Mitchell. I'm thinking, okay, this simple offense is going to play right into the Cardinals' hands. And then by the end of this game, I was thinking of Rams 2015, the home loss in week 4, where guys were out of their gaps, and just like Todd Gurley was running untouched 20 and 30 yards down the field, that's what it looked like in the Buffalo offense.
Yeah, and to me, a lot of it was them not getting in the right gaps, and also a lot of the time, I thought the Bills' offensive line did a really nice job of driving guys back, really controlling the line of scrimmage, so that's a concern too, where physically you were getting beat up, and then mentally you weren't in the right spots at times, so a really bad combination. Especially, like you said, they're going to run the ball. You know it's going to be Shady McCoy and Tyrod Taylor doing the options and doing those sorts of things. They had 120 yards passing, I think. You didn't have to be afraid of anything down the field and still couldn't stop it.
And then BA on Monday started naming names again. You know, not only did he mention Michael Floyd for the drop, he mentioned Michael Floyd for a wrong route. He named John Brown in the locker room. David Johnson took responsibility again, maybe the first time in a long time that I've seen David Johnson without a smile on his face. You could tell it was sort of a sobering reality check. Apparently, he made two more mental errors based on what David told the media. So, I mean, it's starting to set in a little bit. And then you have the special team situation. I mean, Darren, I'll just give you a quick snapshot from the sideline. Cam Kanaday gets hurt for a moment there.
Yeah.
And then you got Evan Bame. The coach is yelling at him to start warming up. So to my left, about 5 yards away, Drew Butler is in agony. And he's got his left leg, and the trainer's looking at it, and he's screaming in pain. Mm. And then to the right, you have Evan Bame long snapping to Chandler Catanzaro. I mean, it was just the whole thing. You're like, oh, boy, this is extremely real right now on special teams.
Right. And you can't – I know fans will say whatever they're going to say, but it didn't matter if it was Cam Kanaday and Drew Butler being out there. I mean, at that point, Drew Butler was healthy, relatively healthy. And so, you know, you couldn't predict that these guys are going to get hurt. Obviously, Cam Kanaday has had his problems, which is why he's not here anymore. I think if he had one bad snap and it was the one in Buffalo, he'd still be around. And obviously that wasn't the case. But you're having enough issues on the two main units that you certainly can't afford to have issues on special teams. And it's been a bad year for special teams, whether it was Kanaday long snapping or Drew Butler being hurt slash still some inconsistency there to Catanzaro, you know, missing an extra point here and there. Obviously, their punt returns have been a little bit better. I think John Brown being back there will help. And their kickoff returns are non-existent. They're downing them now because they realize they're just not going to get out to the 25. I mean, it's not been a good time for special teams. And again, you hope that that's something that could pick you up when you're struggling in the other parts of the game rather than something else you got to account for.
And then Bruce Arians talking about, you know, in spite of the slow start and the special teams, and yeah, they didn't pick up their initial first down until the 9.5 minute mark of the second quarter. He cited the biggest thing for him is why the Cardinals are coming out so poor after halftime. 3 weeks in a row, they have had slow starts to the third quarter.
Yeah, because I think they were down 10 going into the half, and you get the ball first, and if you can do something at that point, obviously, Bills start feeling some pressure. You feel like you can get into a rhythm, and the offense fails, and then they give up. I think it was a touchdown at that point, and it just kind of started unfurling from there and got worse. So I don't. It's hard to pinpoint. Obviously, it's only been three games, so early in the game and early after the half, they haven't done very well. Is this just kind of a random sequence where it's all been in three games, or is there certain problems where for some reason they're not executing right away? Because last year they were pretty good at it. Well, I'm not sure.
That's the thing. I got fans saying, a lot of them, in fact, all of a sudden are like, he's got to get rid of this scripted thing at the beginning of the games, and scripted doesn't work, and scripted. And I'm like, actually, if you go back last year, when they had lulls on offense, it was always after the first possession. They'd come out in the game, and it seemed like more often than not, they'd get points on their very first possession. They'd be like, boom, 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 boom. And then all of a sudden, the other team's on their heels, and it always worked. So, you know, I don't know where this start thing is coming from, because they were really, really good at it. And again, the issue that I'm sure all of us are thinking and out there are thinking, offensively, okay, you had some changes up front, but when I watch this offense, it's not the issues up front, whatever they might be, aren't the first thing that come to mind when I think of the issues, and everybody else came back. What the heck happened?
Which to me is remarkable. Your question on Monday, you know, compare 2015 to 2016 when it comes to the mental errors, and BA's comment was 5 more on average per game so far.
Yeah.
I mean, that's alarming when you consider that everyone is back. It takes me back to the first half of 2013 when the offense was new and the receivers are trying to get on the same page and figure out what is a very complex offense for receivers. They have to make all the same adjustments, you know, into routes that the quarterback is expecting, and they have to be on the same page. And a number of times, obviously, they haven't. That's the only thing I can think of right now to hear BA tell it. Look, you at the beginning of the game, you're never quite sure what an opponent is going to do defensively. You're always waiting for some new things and some new packages and some new looks. That's why, to him, it's more glaring coming out at halftime.
Yeah,
and that's the way he tells it. And yeah, apparently the Bills use some new and innovative stuff that goes may or may not be innovative. Goes back to his Jets days, according to BA.
I mean, I don't think you can say these defenses are out scheming Bruce Arians or Bruce Arians is taking too many deep shots and not doing enough short routes.
Well, you shouldn't. They're all saying it. Trust me. I'm the one getting all that.
Yeah, I know they are. But I think it's just ridiculous that people would be questioning the play calling when Arians is clearly a genius when it comes to offensive play calling. He's been showing it for years. The last 3 years since Carson picked up the offense has been awesome. It's not on the play calling. It's the execution, and there will always be the deep shots. You don't have to take them if they're not there. There are also shorter routes, but to change your identity at this point would be dumb.
So this theory that teams are now, starting with Green Bay in the playoffs, using deeper, softer coverages, dropping more, rushing less, and trying to flood the zone and really, you know, ensuring no one gets behind them, that isn't befuddling the Cardinals all of a sudden.
Here's the thing. Would it cut down on your long pass completions? It might, and that's possible. What I don't understand is why, if this is so successful, why would it taken a playoff game against the Packers for? I mean, he's been doing it since he showed up in 2013. The Cardinals beat the crap out of the league with it all season last season, and nobody thought, well, you know what? Maybe we'll just play guys deeper. I mean, I don't get it.
It's not like the Vikings and the Bengals aren't going to figure out how to try to stop it. They were just so good. The Cardinals just have so much talent on offense that they can be better at executing than you. And it's just been, and I think it's the flip side right now. They're just not executing.
Come on. Mike Zimmer doesn't know anything about defense.
Yeah. All right. Showing that this year.
Marvin Lewis. All right.
So let's advance to the big question about the Big Red. Is it time to be concerned? Because we know what fans and us media guys do. We overreact. You know, we exaggerate the wins. We panic with the losses. The Cardinals, oh my goodness, are now 1-2. And, you know, they're taking on a 2-1 Rams team. How genuinely concerned are you, if at all?
I'm not going to sit here and say you wouldn't have any concern. I mean, if you're one, and it goes back to what we were talking about before, which is this team, if you looked at their schedule, they were hoping and expecting to make hay these first four games, and they've lost two of the three that they've played. If that doesn't raise a red flag, I think that's wrong. That being said, again, they've been through stretches. They went through a stretch like this last year, a similar stretch in terms of how the games played out, where they, you know, they lost a close game at home. Last year was to the Rams. They go on the road. They beat the crap out of the Lions. Then they go to Pittsburgh. They play an undermanned Pittsburgh team, and they look not good. They don't look like themselves, and they lose the game. And what happened this year? They lose a close game at home to the Patriots. They beat the crap out of the Buccaneers, and then they lost a game on the road to a team they thought they should beat. I mean, are they going to win 9 in a row like they did last year after that point? Probably not. I mean, the odds are against it, but they can figure it out. I do think they need to figure some things out, though. I mean, to me, we talk about identity, and we talk about the passing game and why would you question, and I agree with all that. But that said, you have to get the passing game working if that's going to be your identity and those are the plays you're going to call, and they've got to figure out whatever it is they're struggling with, because like we've already said, It's mind-boggling to me that this passing offense with all those same guys back all of a sudden can't run it half the time, and that's what it looks like right now.
Yeah, the concerning thing on my end is you mentioned the loss to St. Louis and the loss to Pittsburgh early on, but to me it seemed like a lot of those were turnovers or just like self-inflicted wounds where you lost some close games and you just didn't play well, and that happens. But Buffalo just brought it from the very beginning and were clearly the better team, and New England, you know, lost the turnover battle and they won that game. So if we didn't have last year to look at, I think there would be big concerns and people would be saying the Cardinals are mediocre. However, we do have the 13 wins from last season, the fact that all these guys are back. So I think they'll still be fine. I still think even though you started 1-2, you can obviously still make the playoffs. You're only one game behind Seattle in the division, so it's far from lost, but I think Carson has to play better. That's the biggest concern for me. He had a career year last year. He looked incredible, and he's probably going to regress no matter what, but how far does he regress?
Yeah, if this team was 1-2 and unproven, then I might be concerned.
Right.
But 1-2 and proven, especially at the key positions, quarterback, some of the team leaders, you know, even head coach and GM, everything involved. Okay, you know, once again, to me, I liken it more to the week four loss against the Rams, where all of a sudden the rush defense isn't there, then you know what? The Cardinals' focus isn't there. I think that's one conclusion I've come to with this team. They might have other issues. But, you know, if the run defense isn't there, then there's a lot of want to, and I think there's a lot of mental errors in that. So to me, that is imminently correctable, and I expect that starting against St. Louis because they know St. Louis has the ability to run the ball. But if you go ahead and you listen and read between the lines of what's being said in the locker room, both we were all in Buffalo, and then, you know, Monday and Tuesday in the Cardinals locker room, there was a lot of respect the process. There was B.A. and Tyrann Mathieu both saying, we think we're better than we are. And there was B.A. saying, look, the leaders are fine. We need more followers, putting on the young guys. So I think perhaps there needs to be an adjustment in the preparation based on listening to B.A. and some of the team leaders. Even Larry said, you know, that this is not last year's team. Translation to me, there are some guys riding on the coattails of last year's 13-3 record.
I could see that. And again, sometimes it can be an issue when you get guys. I mean, there are guys on this team that have never been on bad teams. I mean, I'll give all credit in the world to Kyle. I mean, he walked in. He's been here. This Cardinals team has been a winner since he's been in the door, and he has always respected the process.
No problem.
But I mean, I could.
But
see
we've been him. Around since the guy who said we've got a winner in town.
Yeah, that's true.
Who wasn't? And there was a lot of that for a good 15 years.
I mean. You wonder a little bit if a guy was a rookie and played well last year and then isn't quite ready. And I don't know who he's talking about. You don't know if it's a main guy, and I don't want to throw names out there because don't know.
No, we honestly don't know. And, no one is naming names in that regard.
And you wonder sometimes of the shifting. I mean, look, they wanted to get better athletically in the secondary. But you lost something upstairs with losing Rashad Johnson and Jerod Powers. And that's not to say that DJ Swearinger and Tyvon Branch are dumb or don't know the game. But when you take out, and again, we've talked about this before, Patrick Peterson and Tyrann Mathieu talked about it before. You've had a changing of the guard. I know Patrick Peterson and Tyrann Mathieu were leaders last year. I think they were. But they led in a slightly different way because you had Rashad Johnson and Jerod Powers back there. Now they're taking over. The dynamics all shift around, and maybe they're still trying to find that out. And again, it's not just about the secondary. You know. And again, that's one of the things that bothers me. You got a receiving core that's all the same guys.
Absolutely.
All the same guys.
Yep.
So the hierarchy hasn't changed. The people haven't changed. And yet, way too many mental errors right now. I mean, I don't mean to pick on them, but when you see Michael Floyd and you know he's in his contract year, whether he's coming back here or going somewhere else, he's got a lot of money on the table right now, and he does not seem himself at all.
I wonder when I look at Floyd, I wonder if there's negotiations going on for a contract and he's just feeling the pressure of that. That's what makes me wonder. And that is abject, 100% speculation. It's like something's going on there.
Yeah, but this has kind of been the tale of his career where he's had lulls and he's had dominant stretches.
And usually second half of seasons he's pretty strong,
and I
right?
think we all expected him to hit the ground running this year because it's a contract year, because he's in his physical prime, because he's going to get a lot of targets. For whatever reason, it hasn't happened, and that's one of the biggest reasons why the offense hasn't succeeded. If a lot of those are 50-50 balls that Palmer throws, and if Floyd catches one or two of those, or Jerome Brown can undercut and grab a touchdown instead of an interception, that changes the perspective in game. So it's been a lot of plays like that where you trust your receiver, and the receivers haven't gotten it done.
And, you know, to Darren's point about the secondary, look, are they missing Rashad Johnson and Jerod Powers, the players?
No.
Are they missing the football minds? Maybe. But I think it's compounded by the fact that Tyrann Mathieu is not playing his normal position. So there's some trickle down there in that guys aren't used to Tyrann Mathieu in deep center field. Tyrann Mathieu isn't used to that. And maybe there's still an adjustment period.
See, to me, I think the secondary has been the strongest part of the defense. I think Tony Jefferson has played really well. I think Patrick Peterson has played really well. And obviously Tyron's not a star yet. Marcus Cooper, I think, has done really well for 2 weeks, including obviously the great game. To me, it's more the defensive line in Buffalo. I think the linebackers, Buchanan isn't doing nearly as well in run defense as he did last year. I'm not sure if this is just a lull or teams are attacking him in a different way, but I think clearly Chandler Jones and Marcus Golden are getting after the quarterback, but they're not great run stuffers. So I think the linebacker core as a group isn't as deep and as talented at run stopping. So to me, it's more about the front seven than what we've seen from the defensive backs.
That's true. When you see those running lanes with LeSean McCoy and even Tyrod Taylor and guys aren't getting touched to the second level, that has nothing to do with the secondary.
Yeah. And Tony's been great coming up and stopping guys. It's not him.
And, you know, as far as Daniel Buchanan, the leading tackler for the Cardinals last season with a 127, I don't look at the film, but I do know just listening to Passion Wolf, his name's not being called nearly as often.
And I'm not going to sit here and say I dissect all the film and everything. I'm not one of those guys necessarily. And I've noticed it. I mean, he hasn't had the same impact. I don't want to say he's not the same player. I can't say that for sure. But he has not had the same impact. And, I watched, they showed the replay. I was rewatching the LeSean McCoy 24-yard touchdown run, which was basically right up the middle. I'm not sure what the play was called. I'm not sure where everybody was supposed to be. And for all I know, the Bills blocked it just perfectly, and they had a perfect run call played. But I know Corey Peters shot off the ball and went upfield, and there was nobody behind him. Now, a couple guys came over. Kevin Minter was coming over. Dayon Buchanan were coming over. But they easily got blocked, and it was just this giant gap of a hole that – either somebody wasn't there fast enough, or again, it just got blocked up perfectly. But that's something you can't have. I mean, you can't be in a position where you have no second level help after that, after he beats the first level.
If they don't respond in week four, then I'm officially concerned.
Yeah.
If they haven't heard the head coach and how serious he has been and extremely real, calling it the worst road loss of his 3+ years. Same with Steve Keim, who started that narrative. They both agreed to them it actually looked worse on film than the NFC Championship loss.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if guys aren't hearing that, because there's no doubt the two decision makers are speaking through the media.
I'm not, and Kyle and I have debated this a little bit. For my money, I'm not 100% sure that wasn't the worst loss of the Arians 10-year period. Kyle brought up the season-ending loss last year to Seattle, but there were so many things that went into that. And I know the starters were out there to start the game, but I just don't buy
that.
They weren't there mentally.
No, I'm sorry.
They weren't. And so I think this loss was actually worse.
Well, they called it a butt-kicking, and they took it. Mm-hmm. So he's fully expecting them to respond to it.
And I think at this point, you know, you lost the first one, and they talked about, oh, we were overhyped and we made some mistakes that we wouldn't have made. And it was a close game. And if you make that kick, you win and you feel okay. So I think you could dismiss the first one a little bit. This one got everybody's attention.
Yeah.
When you get whipped from start to finish like that, and now you're 1-2, and you're talking about trying to get not just to the playoffs, but getting a bye. And if you start 1-3, that's almost impossible make up already, so you have to win this game.
And you're 1-3, and the team you just lost to will be 3-1.
Right.
And we all know how these two teams, and more importantly, these two coaches feel about each other.
Yeah.
I mean, this is going to be a very interesting one for sure.
And with all that being said, I think they're going to bounce back just fine. I know we have to look at this one, and like Paul was talking about, early in the season especially, you can overreact to things. When you go on the road and you play a decent team, Buffalo's not great, but maybe a 500 team, sometimes you lose those games. It just happens in the NFL. So I could definitely see them just coming back and everything clicking again too.
We'll leave you with this. A stat from our Jim Omohundro, okay? Four teams last season made the playoffs after starting 1-2. Houston, KC, Seattle, and Washington. So for what it's worth, there you go.
That's a lot of teams, actually, for one season.
It is. Yeah. And, if the Cardinals are a team that's better as the hunter than the hunted, well, they got it now at 1-2. For Kyle Odegaard and Darren Urban, I'm Paul Calvisi. This has been Cardinals Underground.